Again, it is so good to be with you all this morning. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to spend this weekend with you in the study of God's Word. I have been just so impressed with the knowledge and desire to serve God that is very apparent in this congregation. You're to be commended for that. You have a good group of elders and strong members that are so very faithful, and that has been very encouraging and uplifting to my wife and I. In our short time that we've been here, your hospitality has been so very gracious, and we appreciate that very much. As we, as was announced, we're continuing to talk about the idea of zeal. We're a people that are to be zealous for God and zealous of good works. I appreciate the summary and the comments that were made by our brother just a few moments ago, that indeed we're encouraged by brethren, like the brother he mentioned, that are faithful and zealous for God. And really the next couple of lessons here that we're going to be looking at, we're going to be looking at the book of Nehemiah, that Ezra and Nehemiah, this whole really period in history of rebuilding and restoration, I believe is a good example for us about dealing with zeal. We see a good illustration, a good example of both an individual and a group that are zealous for God. And I hope that as we consider these lessons from the book of Nehemiah, that we make application from that, that we're encouraged to be a people that are zealous and learn some things about zeal for God. The lesson this morning will be, let us rise up and build. The second lesson will be about receiving God's word. And then finally, in our Bible class on Sunday, we'll talk about some reforms of Nehemiah. And again, altogether, these lessons hopefully encourage us to be busy in our Father's kingdom. That as we just sang, we'll work till Jesus comes. That there's work that needs to be done, and there's work that we'll do till Jesus comes. And if we do that, as the good brother prayed, we'll be those that'll make it to heaven. That God has given us everything that we need in order that we might be faithful and pleasing to Him and receive that reward in heaven. As we begin our study of the book of Nehemiah, I want to quickly just go through a background or a timeline of the Old Testament history here of Israel. That we see that after years of Israel and Judah rejecting God and following after idolatry, the gods of other nations, and rejecting prophet after prophet. That's the thing that we see with God, that He sent prophet after prophet with a simple message to the people, repent or perish. Very similar to the words of Jesus. And the people did not listen. And they were finally taken captive. Israel went to captivity in Assyria. And years later, Judah was taken captive into Babylon. We see that began in 606 BC when Daniel and his friends, among that first group that were taken into captivity in Babylon, God was with them. They were still faithful. But we see this was punishment of God's people. In 597 BC, a second group was led into captivity. And finally, in 586 BC, a third group was taken captive. And when that captivity took place, there was destruction of their land. The temple was destroyed. The wall was destroyed. Jerusalem was in ruins. We see just as there were three groups that were taken captive, there were three groups that returned to the land. In 538 BC, we have the decree of Cyrus. Now, this was prophesied by one of the prophets that by name, this king would arise that would allow the people to go back. And we see Zerubbabel leads the first group out of captivity. We see Ezra chapters 1 through 6, Haggai and Zechariah take place during that time. They begin to rebuild the temple of God in Jerusalem. In 483 to 473 BC, we have the book of Esther. The story of Esther takes place then, where she saves the Jews from destruction. She didn't have that directly from God, but we see through the influence of her uncle that it might be that the Lord has placed us here for a time such as this. And she faithfully goes to the king, and they're able to save the Jews from their destruction. In 457 BC, we have Ezra leading the second return, Ezra chapter 7 through 10. And then 444 to 425, we have the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah leads a final group out of captivity. We also have here the book of Malachi. We see there the history of God's people. Now, they're taken captive, but then God, as He had promised, that after 70 years, there would be a remnant that would return. And it's during that period in the history of God's people that we're going to be considering together today and tomorrow, Lord willing. As we consider Nehemiah, and we see his story, the background to him as an individual, we see that it had been almost 90 years since the first return. There had been people that returned, and we see that the temple, there had been work that was done to restore the temple as a result of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. We'll be talking about that in our Sunday morning sermon, Lord willing. We see here in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, his story begins, that he is still in captivity. He has a role of some prominence with the king, but he finds out the condition of his people. Consider Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, that I was in Shushan, the citadel. And Hanai, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And this is the condition that he finds the city in. They said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. Here he is in captivity, and he asks about his brethren, and he finds out that though the temple had been built, the wall is broken down. And in that age, in that time, a wall of a city was very important. That was their primary means of defense against other nations. And also, as other nations looked at them and saw the condition of Jerusalem, we see that they were a reproach to the enemies. Their enemies would look at Jerusalem and see this city of God. It doesn't even have a wall. They're defenseless. We see from that 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 generates in Nehemiah some zeal for God. And he gets to work in helping the people rebuild the walls. We want to take some application from this. As we look at the story of Nehemiah, as we consider his life and his influence on the nation, we want to make application to our work in the Lord's church today. You see, first of all, that the work of the Lord requires passion. That is part of zeal that we talked about yesterday. That's part of what we're talking about this week, is the idea of being passionate for the work of the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 1 and in verse 4, we see that, so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And even though he hears of this difficult situation, that the wall has been destroyed, that the people are a reproach, he prays to his God, and notice his prayer. He says, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. But he prays to God that he would remember also that he's promised to protect his people and bring them back if they will be faithful to him. In verse 11, he says, O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for we're told he was the king's cupbearer. We see some things about Nehemiah here, that as he's prayed to God, he's trying to figure out what can be done about this. And we see that the king comes and he's sad in his presence. And he says, I have never been sad in his presence before. It wasn't as though Nehemiah was someone that was just always sad and that was his demeanor. But because he had heard of the state of his people, he was sad before the king, and the king asks him about what is going on. And he, again, prays to God as he goes before the king. And the king asks him what's going on, and he says this in verse 3, May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste, and his gates are burned with fire? And the king said to me, what do you request? And here he says again, I prayed to the God of heaven. And he gives this request. He tells him that I need to go back to my people, But he also has some wisdom here. He asks for some letters to be written that he might have safe passage. He asks for some supplies to be sent with him. And he makes an agreement with the king that I'm going to be gone for a certain number of years and then I'm going to come back. We find later in the story of Nehemiah that that ended up being 12 years. But Nehemiah then is permitted to go back. And he inspects the wall. He doesn't tell anyone what's going on. The enemies hear of this. In verse 10, Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it. They were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. What we see here, beginning in verse 11, is that Nehemiah comes to Jerusalem. There's some men with him, but he doesn't tell the people what he's doing. He doesn't go immediately and tell the Jews about what's happening. In verse 12, I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one which I rode. And he views the walls in verse 13. They're broken down. Its gates are burned with fire. And he goes on and looks at these gates. But notice what he says in verse 16. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or others who did the work. He wanted to go and see this for himself. He wanted to go and assess the situation before he addresses the people. But notice after he's done that, he goes and he tells the people that we need to do something about this. In verse 17, he says this, I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. He sees a problem. He tells these brethren, we need to do something about this. But it's not about them. Notice immediately following. He says, I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. Right, so Nehemiah is sharing his desire. He says, you've been here. Again, it's been almost 90 years. There's this wall that's still in reproach, but he says, we need to do this. We need to build up the walls of Jerusalem. And God's been good to me. Remember, it was God that put it in his heart to do this. And as a result of his influence, notice what the people said at the end of verse 18. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. And when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you were doing? Will you rebel against the king? And I answered and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. What we see here is that the work of the Lord, both this great task that they were doing in Jerusalem and our work today, is not possible without passion, zeal, and trust in God. That all throughout this, Nehemiah makes his appeal to the fact that God had been with them, that God would accomplish this and prosper us in this good work. Nehemiah, he saw a problem. He was going to do whatever was in his power to correct it. He prays to God and he goes and does this. And we see throughout this that his passion, that his zeal, he's very thoughtful in what it is that he's doing. That he prays to God before going to the king. We see in his request to the king that he's thoughtful about what is going to be needed to accomplish this task. And he goes by night and inspects the wall without telling the Jews to see for himself. And assess the situation, but when it came time, he boldly went to the Jews and said, we need to get to work. And again, pointed back to God. And as a result, it was the people themselves that made this statement, let us arise up and build. And through it all, Nehemiah's confidence was in the Lord. And if we're today going to be those that stand for the truth, if we're going to be those that are working to spread the gospel to a world that for the most part, it seems, does not care. If we're going to spread the gospel to a world that sometimes is even actively opposed to God, we need to have passion and zeal for the Lord and put our trust in Him that if we'll spread His gospel, that it has the power to save, that God will give the increase. And if we're going to continue to worship God faithfully, even as the culture around us continues to degrade, and sometimes even the government's opposed to us. I live in a very conservative state, Indiana, and they're debating It doesn't mean that it'll pass, but they're debating laws that would seek to limit what we're permitted to teach and to preach publicly. If we're going to continue to serve God throughout that, if we're going to continue to serve God throughout difficulty that comes our way, we need to be passionate for the work of the Lord. Not only that, the work of the Lord requires passion, but the work of the Lord requires joint participation. That Nehemiah couldn't accomplish this task by himself. He needed the help of the people, and the people needed to work together in order to accomplish great things. And Nehemiah had successfully rekindled the people's passion, and we notice now that they all get to work. We won't read through chapter 3, but I do want to notice the language that's used here throughout chapter 3. We get a description of individuals and where it was that they were working and the project at hand. But I want us to notice the language where it says next to him and after him, that these brethren were all working together. They all had their own work, but they were next to one another. Notice, for instance, in verse 2, that next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, verse 4, Meremoth, the son of Urijah. And next to them, Mashalim. And next to them, Zadok. And verse 5 next to them, verse 7 next to them, verse 8 next to him, verse 9 next to them, verse 10 next to them, and next to him. These individuals got to work on the wall. And next to him was Shallum, the son of Halahesh, the leader of half the district of Jerusalem. He and his daughters made repairs. And we see the language here in verse 16 that after him, Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, and after him, the Levites, and next to him, and after him, verse 18, and next to him, verse 19, after him, verse 20, and 21, and we see this throughout the remainder of the text. And what we see here is that the people are all doing the work of the Lord. Next to one another and after one another, we have these individuals listed that they're active. They're jointly participating in the work of the Lord. We see that everybody was involved in working and being busy in the service of God. At the end of our lesson this morning, we'll consider the text of Ephesians chapter 4, where we see a command for us to all be active in the work of the Lord. But we learn this from the story of Nehemiah. We understand that there can be in a church a few people that are passionate and on fire for the Lord, and they can accomplish some great things, but if everybody's not involved, that's eventually going to go out. They're not going to be able to carry the congregation themselves. But when we're all passionate, when the majority is passionate and they're focused on serving God and they're united in their goals and in their work together, great things can be accomplished and that can be sustained for a period of time. But notice also here that it was people of all status, or people of all classes that got to work in building. It wasn't just the leadership. It wasn't just a few families that decided this is what we're going to do. It was everybody working together. We had everyone from the high priest down to a father and his daughters that were busy in the work of the Lord. In verse 1, we see the high priest arose and went up with his brethren, the priests, to build. In verse 2, the men of Jericho were building. In verse 8, one of the goldsmiths and one of the perfumers were making repairs. And verse 12, again, it was a father and his daughters. In verse 17, the Levites were working. In verse 31, one of the goldsmiths. And the goldsmith and the merchants in verse 32. And what spread out throughout that is the men of different tribes and the leaders of districts. Everyone was involved in the work. Everyone had something that they could contribute to the building of the wall in Jerusalem. But notice also what's said here in the text. And we're told that some went and worked on specific gates or buildings or sections of the wall. And they said, we're going to go and we're going to take care of this part. We're going to repair this gate. We're going to repair this section of the wall. But what we see by and large is that individuals got to work in whatever was in front of their house. And they said, you know what I can do? I can fix the wall that's right here by my house. My family can do that. Notice in verse 10, Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 10, Jediah, the son of Haruma, made repairs in front of his house. In verse 23, Benjamin and Hashem made repairs opposite their house. And after them, Azariah, the son of Messiah, the son of Ananiah, made repairs by his house. In verse 28, beyond the horse gate, the priests made repairs each in front of his own house. In verse 29, after them, Zadok, the son of Immer, made repairs in front of his own house. In verse 30, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, made repairs in front of his dwelling. See that it didn't have to be the most important gate. People weren't saying, oh, I want to go. I want to do the prominent role. There were people that said, I'm going to go and I'm going to repair what's in front of my house. I think there's something in that for us. That there's something that we all can do in the service of God and in the work in His kingdom. And we notice also that they were active. They were jointly participating in the midst even of persecution. Consider with me, if you would, what's described here in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. But so it happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Remember, throughout this whole thing, they had persecution. In chapter 2 and verse 19, Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arab heard of it. They laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? And again, chapter 2 and verse 10, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. It wasn't an easy task, but because they were working together, and ultimately because their trust was in God, they were able to build even in the midst of persecution. Even here in chapter 4, we see them mocking them. Will they be able to do this? Will they accomplish this? Will they offer sacrifices? Well, it said even a fox goes up on it, a relatively small animal. He says they'll break down their stone wall. But they together appeal to their God. They pray to God. They cry out to God, and they get to work. In chapter 4, in verse 4, hear, O God, for we are despised, turn their reproach on their own heads, and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. Notice verse 6. This is what unity looks like. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. These were a people that were united together in building. These were a people that had a mind to work. These were a people that put their confidence in God. In verse 7 and 8, when it happened, Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were being closed, that they became very angry, and all of them conspired together and came and attacked Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, verse 9, we made our prayers to God, and because of them we set a watch against them day and night. Again, what we see here is that it wasn't just Nehemiah. It wasn't just Nehemiah that was going to God on behalf of the people. He said, we made our prayer to our God. They were united not because physical things. They weren't united just because they were brethren, but they were united together because of the faith in their God. That God would accomplish this, that they put their confidence in Him. And we see that there are enemies around us. There are things around us that are pushing to stop us from working for the Lord. That Satan would love nothing more than for God's servants to stop working and go back to the world. That we see the importance of working together with our brethren. And together having that faith and that zeal for God. And this time, when they were faced with opposition, they prayed to God and strengthened their faith. We'll talk a little bit on Sunday about the fact that some of these same enemies were the reason that the temple wasn't completed. They started working and they stopped because of opposition. But what we see here is that it was different, that they had the same opposition. They had strong opposition. But these were a people that persevered in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord requires perseverance. In Nehemiah chapter 4, again, we see that these enemies did not give up. Just because they had prayed to God and they had continued for a time and they had put together the wall up to half of its height, the enemy still pressed hard against them. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 9, we see their response was to be active in building and defending their work. They weren't just going to give up and say, well, we've got to stop building and just be on the defense. They said, no, we're going to continue working and we're going to defend against the enemies. They're going to persevere against them. You see, they organized their families with swords, with spears, and with bows. In verses 9 through 13... our adversaries, verse 11, said they will neither know or see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. These people were positioned in this way, he says in verse 13, therefore I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set people according to their families with swords, their spears, and their bows. And he urged them to trust in God and to not fear their enemies. In verse 14, I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. In verse 15, and it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us return to the wall, everyone to his work. We see that they worked with one hand. They held a weapon with the other. They had some people that were defending and some people that were building. In verse 16, it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. And he says, those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other they held a weapon. And every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. And the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Again, these are a people that are active in both building and defense. These are a people still that are united. They all have their tasks. They're still working on the wall. But it was because of their trust in God. Remember the Lord, again, verse 14, and fight for your brethren. And again, they continued to organize together to defend the work of the Lord. In verse 19, I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive. We are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. And at the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay the night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and working party by day. So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. Again, here's the people that are persevering. It wasn't comfortable. They kept their clothes on except to wash. They were working. They separated up day and night. And they had a plan. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us and our God will fight for us. They had incredible trust in their God. They made their prayer to God in verse 9. In verse 14, he said, remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren. In verse 15, that even their enemies knew that God had brought their plot to nothing. And we return to the wall, everyone to his work. And then here in verse 20, our God will fight for us. And it's really the picture that we have there, that there's work for us to do, but it's God that's fighting for us. He said, we need to rally together when you hear the trumpet, but we're going to come together so that our God will fight for us. It wasn't about their strength and their might. even though they had a part in it. That we must be those that fight to serve the Lord and to do His work and be active in spiritual growth while not letting our guard down and always being ready to defend against the attacks of the devil. That Satan is active in trying to get us to come down from our work. He's active in trying to get us to be discouraged in our service to God. But God has given us the tools that we need in order that we might stand if we'll put our trust and our confidence in Him. And notice quickly as we draw our study to a close the result of Nehemiah and these people. It's faith and trust in God. Chapter 5, we get some detail about Nehemiah. He's made the governor of Judah, and we see that he doesn't take the provisions, but he provides for people, and he tells people not to be harsh against one another. We see some good that comes from that. In chapter 6, the work of the wall is completed. Notice the enemies didn't stop. Even though they were well planned, and even though the enemies were frustrated that God had brought their plot to nothing, they continued to try to discourage the work of the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 1, it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. And notice the faith in Nehemiah's response in verse number 3. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? And they sent this message 4 times. And I answered them in the same manner. And Sanballat sent his servant to me as before the 5th time with an open letter in his hand. And this letter accuses him of rebelling against the king. That he says, Nehemiah is elevating himself. But I sent to him, verse 8, saying, no such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. For they were all trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. And notice again his faith and his trust in God. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. As we drop down to verse 15. An outstanding statement about their effectiveness in working together and trusting in their God. So it was that the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. Again, remember that for 90 years, the wall had not been restored. It was in ruins. And they were a reproach to the nations around them, but because they banded together, they put their trust in God and persevered, the wall was completed in less than 2 months. You know, as we contemplate about that, we realize that it is easy to leave the work undone for a lifetime. That's the easy choice. But look what can be accomplished in under 2 months when we're passionate, when we're active and united in the work, and we're set for the defense. Like I said, we would come back to Ephesians chapter 4. As we seek to make the application and learn from the story of Nehemiah and the people of Judah, we see that this is exactly what is needed in the Lord's church, that for people to all participate and join together in the work of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, begin in verse 11. He's talking about unity in this section, that there's one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one body, one Spirit, one God and Father of all, and one baptism. But in verse 11, he says, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, some teachers, evangelists, and pastors. We understand that we no longer have apostles or prophets, but we have evangelists and teachers and pastors. But he says he gave them for this purpose, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. And notice here in verse number 16, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's God's desire for us, is that we would be those kind of people that would rise up and build, the kind of people that would be active in the work of the Lord. And as we consider the story here, let us all reflect upon this and honestly ask ourselves and answer the question, am I passionate about the work of the Lord? Do I have a zeal for God? Am I involved in the work? Am I doing what I can to further the kingdom of Christ? Am I doing what I can to contribute to the work of the church? And am I ready to fight for the work? Am I ready to be an individual that's set for the defense of my faith, for the defense of the hope that we have in Christ? Let us all rise up and build. We can assist you this morning in your spiritual walk. We can encourage you in any way in serving God. We invite you to come as we stand and sing.